Bolton versus Phillips, Mr. Mancino.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Richard Mancino, and I appear here today on behalf of Phillips Domestic Appliances and Personal Care, the appellant in this proceeding and the defendant and counterclaim plaintiff in the proceeding below. The district court's dismissal of a tort action commenced by Sultan on the motion of Sultan's manufacturer and fellow tortfeasor, Electrical and Electronics Limited, should be reversed for the reasons we discussed in our brief. Today I will focus on two of those reasons. First, E&E was just one potential tortfeasor whom Phillips could choose to sue or not, and therefore not a necessary party. Second, the district court did not reasonably discharge its duty to assess whether, in equity and good conscience, the action should proceed without E&E. And I will focus on two elements.
Well, what's the status of the Hong Kong lawsuit?
The state, at the time of the court.
Now.
At the time. Well, it's not in the record, Your Honor, but going outside the record, I can state that, to my knowledge, they have had amended and re-amended pleadings, and that Sultan has intervened in some capacity, and a re-amended pleading by Phillips has been asserted against Sultan.
If Sultan has joined the Hong Kong litigation, why, at a minimum, wouldn't it be appropriate to stay any proceedings here pending a resolution of the Hong Kong proceedings? In other words, what's the merit of allowing dual litigation in two different fora?
Well, the merit of allowing this litigation in particular in the Northern District of Illinois to go forward is that the tortious conduct that Phillips alleges that Sultan is engaged in is taking place here in the United States. It's the marketing, the distribution.
But look, you didn't sue Sultan in the U.S., right? You waited for them to sue you. So you wanted to be in Hong Kong.
Your Honor,
I mean, it's very goofy because you wanted to be in Hong Kong, and now you want to be in Chicago. They didn't want to be in. They wanted to be in Chicago, and now they want to be in Hong Kong. So what's going on?
Well, whether Sultan now wants to be in Hong Kong is immaterial because Sultan was the party that chose the forum, the Northern District of Illinois.
You didn't want to be in. You didn't choose it. You didn't want to be in Chicago. Why is there this reversal? They now want to be in Hong Kong. They originally wanted to be in Chicago. You want to be in Chicago. You originally wanted to be in Hong Kong.
Now, Your Honor, it's not a matter that we did not want to be in Chicago.
Well, you didn't sue them in Chicago.
As of the time they commenced the lawsuit against us here, we had not yet sued them. They made that issue academic by commencing the action here in Illinois.
There's no indication you plan to sue them in Chicago.
I'm sorry?
There's no indication, is there, that you plan to sue them in Chicago?
There's nothing in the record
in
our way.
It was just a reaction to reaction.
It was certainly a reaction to Sultan suing us. And in response to Sultan suing us, Phillips engaged U.S. lawyers. Phillips obtained the infringing product, the one-to-one, on the market, and was able to look at, for the first time, investigate that product, investigate whether the software was identical to the software used in Phillips' product, the Senseo coffee machine. And then, having done its investigation, within 2 days of appearing before the district court, filed an answer and a counterclaim asserting the tort claim.
To what extent is Phillips really prejudiced by the dismissal of the second action in view of the fact that Sultan has hired someone to rewrite the computer code for its coffee maker?
Well, it's harmed, Your Honor, because Sultan sold machines in the United States containing Phillips copyrighted software. It did not recall those machines, And it also did not recall the machines that were on the retailer's shelves and as yet unsold. So we were certainly damaged by the use of Spy Sultan of our copyrighted software in connection with the sales it did make in the United States. And that harm still exists, Your Honor. That harm has not been remedied. Now, with respect
to... But if E&E didn't break its contract with you, that ends the issue in Hong Kong, right?
Yes. As to the contract claims that Phillips has asserted
against
E&E.
If it didn't break its contract with you, what significant relief could you obtain against Sultan? I mean, suppose E&E didn't break its contract, which means that any information gave to Sultan was legit. So then you just have your little copyright claim against Sultan, wouldn't you?
We would certainly still have the copyright claim against Sultan, Your Honor.
What else would you have?
And we can only speculate.
What else would you have?
I'm sorry?
What else would you have?
We may still have a trade secrets claim.
There's only a theft or whatever you want to call it, trade secrets, if E&E broke its contract with you. So I'm saying if it didn't break its contract with you, the only possible harm Sultan could have done you was the copyright infringement. Isn't that true?
If the court in Hong Kong rules that the proprietary information that we claim are trade secrets were in the public domain, we would probably be bound by that, certainly vis-a-vis E&E.
Right.
We would still have a copyright infringement claim here against Sultan, or indeed anyone else who may have been using our software, but that would be Sultan.
But isn't this a tiny little tail wagging the dog, have the copyright litigation here?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Well, in the briefing on the motion to dismiss the first action, you didn't argue that the copyright claim should be treated differently from the other claims, did you?
No, we did not, Your Honor. The focus was on the tort claims,
yeah.
Certainly, in the first action. And the trade secrets and the copyright claim fell within the scope of that. And in the context of the briefing that was taking place at that time, which I should note was also was taking place while the expedited discovery and the briefing on the preliminary injunction motion was ongoing, that was the focus. In the second action, the focus was solely the copyright action, and therefore there was more attention given to that specific claim. But
it makes sense to have everything in Hong Kong.
It does not, Your Honor.
Because there's no way of shifting the Hong Kong suit to Chicago, I think.
Well, let me address your first question. I don't believe it makes sense to shift everything to Hong Kong. And on the record before the court, you cannot make the judgment that Phillips can obtain all of the relief it was seeking here in the Northern District of Illinois before the Hong Kong court.
Why not? You said Sultan is now in that suit, so...
There's nothing in the record, Your Honor, that indicates whether or not a Hong Kong court would adjudicate the U.S. Copyright Act claims that Phillips has asserted here against Sultan. There was nothing in the record before the court below, nor before this court, to indicate that the Hong Kong court will in fact listen to trade secret claims that Phillips might raise against Sultan relating to Sultan's conduct here in the United States, or that, for that matter, the Hong Kong court would consider the Illinois Trade Secret Act.
Mm-hmm.
Sultan invited Phillips to the Northern District of Illinois. Sultan did not think that E&E was a necessary party. Sultan was expecting to get cooperation from E&E.
Well, but when you look at Sultan's complaint in the first action and Phillips' answer and counterclaim, there are quite a few references to the agreement between Phillips and E&E and to E&E's alleged breach of that agreement. So, I mean, in view of those references, why wouldn't Judge Lefko be entitled to conclude that the agreement and E&E's alleged breach were central to resolution of the first action?
Your Honor, because they weren't central to the resolution of the first action. What was central to the resolution of the first action, certainly as the case had progressed to the preliminary injunction stage, was whether Salton had misappropriated trade secrets and had infringed our copyright. Their defense was that that information was in the public domain, and they assured the district court that even without E&E's participation, they could prove that defense. Now, the E&E, as a joint tortfeasor, was not a necessary party. Therefore, the district court's inquiry should have ended there. Instead, the district court did go to 19B, and it made several errors, in our view. It erred by finding that Salton would be prejudiced by not getting the cooperation from its manufacturer, E&E. Salton, as I said, chose to sue here. It realized the risk of not having E&E as a party in this litigation, and it chose to proceed anywhere. At most, E&E, as the repository of evidence, is an indispensable witness.
Did E&E ever file a form known convenience motion in Chicago?
It did not, Your Honor. So, for Salton to complain now that somehow it could be prejudiced by having to proceed with its action in the Northern District of Illinois should not be credited. The Supreme Court in the Provident Bank case, which E&E cites, noted that clearly the plaintiff who himself chose both the forum and the party's defendant should not be heard to complain about the sufficiency of the relief against them. And that applies equally here to Salton. In contrast, the district court gave little or no consideration to the prejudice to Phillips. As I mentioned, the tortious conduct was occurring here. It was within its right to come to a U.S. court, to ask a U.S. court to apply U.S. and Illinois law to stop that conduct. The fact that there is also tortious conduct going on in Hong Kong is immaterial in our view. Phillips was free to choose whom to sue or whom not to sue. And as for the prejudice to E&E, the district court itself found that however it might resolve the case between Salton and Phillips, it would not have a preclusive or binding effect on E&E in the Hong Kong litigation. Now, went on to say that it may have some practical adverse effects to E&E in the Hong Kong litigation, but there was nothing in the record before the district court to support that. There was no evidence.
Why don't you save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
I will. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Cowley?
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Carrie Connolly for Limited Intervenor Appellee Electrical and Electronics. Your Honors, based on what Mr. Mancino said, I'd like to address, we recited it in the brief, but I think it's important that the court understand the background to this dispute and the fact of E&E's participation in the development of the product.
So what is the status of the suit in Hong Kong? Is there discovery or just at the pleading stage or what? Because it's been going on for a while.
It has been going on for a while, and as the court... it would be helpful if the court took a look at the declaration of Barry Yen, in which he and the letters that are in the record that show that the the pleadings are still open because Salton is now has intervened
because
as a
what?
Party. Salton has intervened and is now a party for all purposes in the Hong Kong litigation.
Is the copyright claim one that can be resolved by the Hong Kong court?
Yes, Your Honor. And the declaration of Barry Yen is in the record, and he says that the Hong Kong courts give full effect to U.S. copyright claims in Hong Kong.
But in what sense is the copyright claim one that arises under the agreement between Phillips and E&E?
because of the history of E&E's participation in the development of the Cafe Senseo prior to Philip's involvement in the project, in 1997, Martex and Sarah Lee Dewey Egbert approached E&E and asked E&E to become part of the project. And E&E became part of the project. They produced a number of working prototypes. Thereafter, Philips joined the project. And it's clear from the record, and E&E has not participated in this discovery, but it's clear from the source code that has been submitted in support of Philips' motion for a preliminary injunction, that the source code is a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation of the source code at issue. So it's the working prototypes of the Senseo that were produced had code to run the machine. And it is not at all clear who authored that source code.
So when Salton intervened in Hong Kong, what did it say? I'm just coming in here, and what is, must have said more than that?
Salton, E&E did not oppose Salton's interest.
Well, what did Salton say?
Salton said that it was a party with interest in the litigation because of its it was a co-owner with an owner of the one-to-one machine in which Philips was alleging its manufacturer had committed torts by manufacturing it.
So has Salton's intervention been accepted?
Yes.
So it's a party now. Does this mean that? So has Philips filed filed a copyright claim against Salton in the contract?
Philips has filed a copyright claim against E&E.
I mean, not against Salton?
That I don't believe that they have been directly named yet, because Philips still needs to reamend the pleadings in Hong Kong, and that's part of this. The delay that Philips has engendered is continuing. So now what's happening in Hong Kong is each time Philips asks for another adjournment, we don't allow that adjournment. But because of the intervention of Salton, I believe that in the copyright case, they would be allowed one more reamendment of their pleading. Because the copyright case...
No copyright case.
There's a copyright claim in Hong Kong against E&E. And because Salton is now a party in the misappropriation of trade secrets case, Salton will probably intervene in the copyright case as well.
When you say cases, these are actually separate cases?
These are separate cases.
Case? There are two cases.
Yes, there are two cases, and we, in conjunction with our Hong Kong counsel, have discussed seeking consolidation.
What tells us whether and to what extent the Hong Kong case would be influenced by any judgment reached in this litigation?
There is no specific information in the record which says that the Hong Kong court would give collateral estoppel effect to a judgment of the U.S. District Court. Rather, the effect that would happen in Hong Kong would be the adverse persuasive precedent, which this court has held in Extra Equipmentos and in other cases, is sufficient prejudice to the parties.
So, in other words, you would say that Philips is totally wrong when it says that everyone's speculating about the prejudice that E&E might suffer if the litigation between Philips and Salton proceeded without E&E's participation?
I think as a matter of law and logic, it just as a matter of common sense, a judgment either way in Illinois is going to have a negative impact in the Hong Kong litigation. If Philips obtains a judgment or an injunction against the manufacturing, which is what they asked for initially, or the importation and distribution of the one-to-one, that will impact E&E's profit participation and its right to manufacture the one-to-one. It's disputed in the record as to the nature of E&E's ownership of the one-to-one, but the record is clear that E&E at least has a 5% profit participation in the deposition of...
But that doesn't apply to the copyright suit against Salton.
No,
that couldn't affect you.
But a judgment on a copyright claim against Sultan in the U.S. would necessarily impact E&E. The complaint, we would ask the court to please look at the complaint.
No, not a copyright.
In the copyright case, because E&E was the party who allegedly gave any of the information, including the source code, or coded the chip with the alleged infringing source code. So it's E&E's actions that are at issue here. And all of those actions are referable to the Hong Kong agreement. And that agreement has the forum selection clause, which means that all of these claims should be adjudicated in Hong Kong, including the U.S. copyright claim. Your Honor, just one more point. Today is the first time that we heard Ian Phillips concede that the Hong Kong court would be bound by a decision in this court. And that certainly...
I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry, I thought Mr. Mancino said that they finally conceded. They said that... Mr. Mancino said that they would probably, would probably be bound by a decision in the Hong Kong court, in which case it would be prejudicial to all the parties to have, it would be prejudicial to have the cases proceed in two different jurisdictions. And if the court doesn't have any further questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Connolly. Mr. Clank?
Yes, Your Honor. James Clank for Sultan. I want to first go to two questions, the status of Hong Kong and then why Sultan filed its lawsuit. In Hong Kong, Sultan has intervened. It's reflected in Judge Lefkoe's second opinion. The status currently of the pleadings is we have asserted declarations relief for all of the claims that are going on in Illinois, in Hong Kong. Phillips has, while not styling it a copyright infringement claim, has claimed that there's a taking of the electronic functionality that they had on their device in their pleadings. Now, with respect to why Sultan filed a case in the United States, Sultan was bringing a product to market. This product, there was a cloud over it. What was occurring in Hong Kong was and continues to be a series of delays. It was not like a patent where you could inspect a product and find out whether there were issues, because they were trade secrets and there was nothing that shows that there is a copyright issue with respect to software or the like, or who owns it.
Let me just ask you a quick question. For purposes of the first action, what is it that makes E&E an indispensable party as opposed to being an indispensable witness?
Well, right now, they are an indispensable party under 19A1 because Sultan is a party to the case in Hong Kong. And any action that happens with respect to Sultan in a U.S. suit will, I believe, be given effect in Hong Kong. Now, a moment ago, there was a reference that collateral estoppel would not apply. I confess I do not know that. But it's the High Court of Hong Kong. These are British common law courts. They are founded on that principle. Even now, after the handover, I would be shocked and amazed if that would not have an effect. Other point I'd like to address is the waiver points, and then I'll sit down and ask some other questions. First, there was no reference at all in...
Well, I don't understand. Why did you sue in Chicago? You never explained that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I sued in Chicago because I wanted to know, quote, what the alleged secrets were that were taken. That was not clear in Hong Kong. Answers were not forthcoming.
But now you don't want to be in Chicago anymore.
My position in the district court, Your Honor, was I was ambivalent at which court I should be in. If you look at our pleadings, we wanted to just be in one or the other, and that court would decide. With her direction, we are now in Hong Kong, where all of the parties are. And that is the most efficient place, I believe, now to have a resolution of this, given all of the claims.
Well, I don't understand why you changed your mind. Now you're willing to be in Hong Kong. You weren't originally. You could have intervened in Hong Kong at the beginning.
The reason, Your Honor, is because we were not... There was a commercial issue. a new product was coming to the United States. It was coming for the holiday season. To find out what the secrets were, we thought the quickest way to do it was to proceed in the United States. In case there was something, quote, that was taken, we could make adjustments in that product. Salton is not in the business of infringing others' intellectual property. We believe it was the quickest route to find out what the alleged secrets were.
You know, my question is this. Isn't the question of a copyright really a fairly discreet issue that could be addressed without delving into the agreement and E&E's, you know, alleged breach of that agreement? And then that would be that.
I agree with that. I agree with that, Your Honor. And we're not selling any machines with that software. This is a damage issue. There is nothing to this. The reason why Philips should not be allowed to bring that now is they never argued that to Judge Lefko in the first case. And it was necessarily included in her decision that it was not they were not a necessary party. They never argued that. These district judges have hundreds of cases in front of them, and to be able to respond to arguments, criticized for responding, not dealing with arguments and not even made, it's tough on them. It's not fair.
Did you ask
it's slow
for,
in Hong Kong?
Did you ask?
Well, in the record, Mr. Chen's affidavit in the record, there's a series of delays through the for 2003, where there was not an identification of trade secrets and people weren't responding. Since Salton has intervened, it has objected to requests for extension by Philips. We want a resolution.
Did
yes,
you
Chris?
Ask for preliminary relief when you filed your suit in Chicago?
I'm sorry.
Did you ask for a preliminary injunction when you filed your suit in Chicago?
No, there was nothing to enjoin, Your Honor.
Well, did you ask for some kind of expedited?
We served Philips by air courier the day we filed the complaint. They appeared 2 months later, right before the initial status, and they asked if we wanted an expedited, we would agree to expedited treatment, and we agreed.
But you hadn't sought expedited treatment?
It was a deck action, by nature declaratory. You're right, Your Honor, I filed no special motion in that regard.
So, following up on Judge Rovner's questions, insofar as you're being sued for copyright infringement, I don't understand how I don't understand how E&E is a necessary or indispensable party to that. It's copyright.
I would agree that in the chain of distribution, in a normal case, that is the case. In this case, when the first case was dismissed, that encompassed that issue. Philips made no argument in that regard, none whatsoever. The court issued her ruling, and that ruling is a final ruling. You don't cure final rulings by filing a new lawsuit the next day.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
We submit that there's been no abuse of discretion and the decision should be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Klein. Mr. Mancino, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
5 minutes.
Well, you have 2 minutes.
Whatever. I'm sorry, did I have to go over? Your Honor, with respect to the copyright claims, there is no issue, at least in the record before the district court, as to who created it. The only evidence is that it was created by two Philips employees who submitted affidavits. And that is a discrete issue, Your Honor. And we did argue that the copyright claim did not involve in any way the contract with E&E. And in fact,
but it was an afterthought, obviously.
It wasn't an afterthought because both with respect to the first action and then with the second action, we argued that none of the claims that we were proceeding on invoked or were entangled with the agreement with E&E. Now, we're at a position in this case, Your Honor, where discovery is complete, the issues have been briefed, and if this case were remanded to the district court, the trial on the merits of the copyright claim, of the trade secrets claim, could happen with rapidity. As you've heard, because of the way the case in Hong Kong and the court in Hong Kong and the judicial system in Hong Kong operates, they're still in the pleading stage.
Mr. Clank suggested that since Salton is now party to the Hong Kong lawsuit, there's an increased possibility that the adjudication of the court in Chicago would in fact be given collateral estoppel effect in Hong Kong. What's your view on that?
Well, my view on that is I don't know because the record is silent as to what effect, if any, the Hong Kong court will give to a ruling here. But Salton is a plaintiff and a counterclaim defendant in the Northern District of Illinois. So it shouldn't be heard to complain about the effect that a judgment here might have on it. The district court has wide discretion in shaping relief.
Why can't the discovery be transferred to Hong Kong? You said discovery was complete, so there are a bunch of depositions and so on?
There's depositions.
Why can't they be shipped to Hong Kong?
Well, I suppose they could be boxed up and shipped, Your Honor. I don't know that they can be used there because it's a different system of discovery.
Neither side seems to have made any inquiry into the nature of Hong Kong law and procedures.
Well, that's true, Your Honor, and the record, even
well, that's
as
not very helpful.
Well,
what are we supposed to do?
Well, I suppose, Your Honor,
on Hong Kong law.
No, I don't think this court should become the expert on Hong Kong law. Rather,
well, someone should presumably, without knowing what Hong Kong law is, very hard to gauge the effect of dismissal of the Chicago suit, isn't it?
I believe so, Your Honor, and that's why the case should be remanded to the district court.
Why didn't you and your opponents study up on Hong Kong law and tell us what the effect would be?
Well, we can do that, and I think
it's too late.
We should. Well, it could be remanded to the district court for that.
Well, and that's ridiculous. I mean, it's just going to go on forever. Two separate duplicated proceedings going on forever, fiddling around.
Well, but Your Honor,
years later, people say, "Oh, let's find out what Hong Kong law is. That might be interesting."
Well, I'm sorry, Your Honor, that's the problem with the district court's Rule 19B decision, because there was no evidence to support any conclusion that the determination here against Salton would have any effect as to E&E. And the Hong Kong case will not resolve everything, because despite what counsel for E&E has said, the U.S. copyright claims, to my understanding, are not before the Hong Kong court.
Well,
and also there's litigation in the
there.
UK, and I understand litigation in Australia is about to start because Salton is continuing to ship products.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Well, forgive me for one moment. What were the very last three words you said? Salton is continuing to...
To sell the one-to-one product, the infringing product, in various countries around the world.
May I ask a question that may or may not be in the record?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is there a price differential between the two coffee makers?
In the U.S., I think the one-to-one was being sold at retail around $55 to $59. The Senseo, and this, I don't think this is in the record, the Senseo, which is now on the market in the U.S., is being sold for approximately $69 per unit. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you very much to both sides.